Blog Talk Radio.
You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things.
could tear me apart. For I know great in all the earth. For I know great in all the earth. You're bigger.
Good evening. Welcome to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. Very glad to have you all joining tonight with us. Without further ado, I'm one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I am your other host, Tanisha. And today is May 23rd. It's 2021. It's 9:08 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're excited to be here. Terrence is already laughing. Got the joy of the Lord.
Yeah. It's a joy to me. Because you're funny. Yeah, but that is the joy of the Lord. You know, because God has given all of us something to be joyful about.
Mm-hmm.
He said in his word that the fact that you're in this day that he's made for us, he tells us to rejoice and be glad in it.
Mm-hmm.
So every day of our lives, we should always find something to rejoice over. When you feel like, you know, you're getting a little heavy in things that you really don't want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
The weight of the day based on what we are allowing to have weight or carry, have access and carry that type of weight in our lives. Some things come, you know, that can be somewhat beyond our control. But when we evaluate our day and the things that we encounter, we really have to evaluate what we are going to allow to take away or decrease my joy. Because let's say your joy is to start out on 100% the morning that you wake up. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in this day. And then you go to work. Just the fact you're going to work to 30% of your 100, you're down to 70. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Pressing, hallelujah. You know, and then you hear about a pressing matter at work based on the neglect or negligence of someone else. And now you got to take on another person's responsibility. Now you went from 70 to a smooth 50. You're running 0.5%. It ain't even known yet. You know, and by the time you get through your work day, per se, you get off, you on your last 5% maybe. You're like blinking when it comes down to the joy. You ain't even got home to your family yet, you know? And so then your family gets the worst part of you.
Right.
The family gets the lower percentage of you. And you were working and dealing with your family on 5%. And your family deserves to have it all. They need that 100% of you. They need you to be present, you know, at all times. Or whether it's just your circle. You know, you may not have a family at home, but people who God has called you for need you to be at 100%. They need you. And God has given us the blueprint on how to combat these different issues and circumstances that come about us in our life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about being perfect. But it's about making a conscious effort and practicing the word of God in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Giving the word of God a place. Giving God a place in our lives to move, to work, and to demonstrate, to prove. And these are the things that we should do. We have to allow God that time. You know, okay, this pressing matter. That didn't hit me as soon as I got to work. You know, I'm not going to allow it to steal my joy. I'm not going to give any of my joy away to this. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to deal with it, and I'm going to deal with it how I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because all I can do is give it my best. And I'm going to do it as unto God.
Yes.
As unto him. And so when we're doing things as unto God, we're looking to please him. We're looking for that approval. And so it begins to change our posture. It changes our attitude and our perception of things, you know, when we face them. You know, yeah, it might be something you don't want to do, but the fact that I don't want to do it still doesn't change the fact that it still needs to get done. And so let's just do it. Let's get it done and knock it out and trust God with our day, because we have to prioritize what we are going to render important all the way down to the least important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so me, my family is important. They are high on the list, and I want to be in a position where I can give them the best of me, because I don't want them to miss out on anything that God wants to give them. And so, you know, I'm preaching to myself tonight, you know, but this is what we really need, you know, because sometimes, you know, we can really be so focused on growing with God that we lose contact. We lose that relationship and that trust in our families, because we can actually be too focused in something. And we're saying, but it's for you guys' benefit. But when we're not present, that time is still ticking. Well, you know, your five-year-old 15, and you sitting up there like, where does the time go? You know? Your friend, your best friend, or your brother, or sister, are no longer here now. And you begin to think, man, I should have put more time in, you know, with them to get to know them better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that nothing. So it's like, just make sure that we are making a conscious effort to make the most of our time, and to maximize the opportunities that God gives us, to really look at what's important, what's not important, what's the most valuable to the least valuable, and really prioritizing our days and prioritizing our lives so that God can get glory out of that we do. Our lives have to have some type of order, you know, and God speaks of order. Everything has an order,
mm-hmm.
even our development, our coming here and being human beings in this earth still had an order, had a process that it took for us to manifest, for us to be here. And so we can't dismiss that fact. We can't allow that to get away from us, because it is so important. It is so important for us to remember about the value of order, the value of order, the value of process. You know, when we be praying, man, we asking God, you know, we ain't praying asking God, Lord, let this thing, you know, subside in 6 months. When we praying asking God for something, we be wanting it right then. You know, that's why we want it right now. Lord, give it to me. Nah, get this thing up off of me. But even in prayer, you know, there's an order, there's a process. We just have to not take for granted and not dismiss the value of order. And pray for order. Say, Lord, if there's areas where I need order in, Lord, I thank you for order, helping me get organized,
mm-hmm.
giving me the mind to be focused on order and having order, and then trusting you through the process, giving me the discipline that I need to fulfill what you have called me to do here in this earth. It all takes that, because if someone like me, I like to do a lot of different things. There are a lot of parts of me that I want to get out. And sometimes you can spend so much time thinking about how you're going to incorporate this plan so that you can do all of you, instead of just taking it one day at a time and trusting God to reveal to you, you know, and as you walk in the assurance that he revealed things to you, then he begins to give you the plan. He begins to give you the blueprints,
mm-hmm.
on how he wants you to do this. And before you know it, he's giving you the plan and he's told you the order in which is going to get done. You know it, but it still may be some things you just don't know when it's going to happen, but you know it will. And so just continue to just trust and really believe God on a level that you haven't believed in him on before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the time that we're walking in, because there are things ahead that's going to cause us to be disciplined. There are times ahead that's going to cause you to have order in your life, because your life could actually depend on it.
Mm-hmm.
Your life could actually depend on it. And we don't want to wait till it's time to have something, to use something or to have something, and then don't have it when you need it.
Right.
So hear the word of the Lord tonight. We're first changing your attitude, changing our attitudes on how we see life. That, again, was given to us. We had nothing to do without being here.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we be so arrogant? in our approach to a gift. We always have to be grateful. We always have to be grateful. And it's one thing to have something and you'll make mistakes, but you understand when you walk in wisdom that that's just part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the journey. And that's always allowing God. It's always letting you know that you need the Lord, that you need Christ in your life, because you will err. Because you will make the wrong turn in Albuquerque sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do that. But to have someone there with you that loves you through it, that tell you and show you how to get back on track and how to keep pushing and not allowing your mistakes to begin to carry the unnecessary weight that it needs to have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you've gone through in life, a lot of times we hold on to it so much and we give it so much thought. We give it so much value in our lives that's not needed. It's not even warranted there. I'm beyond that. I learned from that. I seen what doing that would do. I don't want to go there no more. I don't want to experience that again. Let it go and move on. Just thank God that you got through it. But that's the importance of us as believers, that as we continue to grow and mature in faith, we really begin to value our time. We really begin to understand the value of the moment that you're in. And in that moment, we have the free will to make decisions and choices that will affect the next moment. And depending on how we are thinking and what we are choosing and deciding to do in this moment will determine whether the next moment will be beneficial to us, or we're going to bear a harvest of peace, or we're going to bear a harvest of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is really, 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 really a good God. And I know, like with me and Tanisha, God uses us differently, but in the same way. You know, sometimes we may just be preaching. Sometimes we just may just flow prophetically. Sometimes we just have conversations, you know, and we talk because we family.
Mm-hmm.
And because when you love someone, you want to tell them the truth, whether they like it or not. Because it's us as believers, a thing that the enemy has used against us so much. It's silence. He's kept us in silence because guess what? We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. We don't want to offend nobody.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want them looking at me strange and this, that, and the other. I want them keep talking to me. I don't want them to be mad at me. And this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, man, what if Jesus took that approach? You know, I don't really want the Pharisees, Sadducees, to be mad at me. I mean, I ain't going to tell them the truth. I'm just going to hang out, you know. Redemption wouldn't even be available. Healing wouldn't be available. Life more abundantly wouldn't even be available. Sometimes it's not about always trying to make everyone your friend. It's not always all about trying to give people a place or a space in your life, and I always had them in your corner supporting you in this, that, and other. But it's important for us to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important to us to tell the truth and to share the truth and to give somebody an opportunity to get right. It's not about us being right. It's about them being right. You know, and Jesus didn't make it about himself. He put love first, and that's what we have to do. We really have to put love first and ask God to teach you how to love, to show you what love is. If you might be lost in that category, in that area of really knowing what love is, but you may have an idea of what you think love is. If you have an idea of what you think love is, when you experience real love, you would never have to question what love is. When you've truly experienced the love of God, you never have to question love again. You know what love does for you. Then you can walk in love. You can talk in love. You can share in love. You can give in love. You can receive in love because you've experienced what real love is. And one thing love is going to be honest with you. And if you love yourself, like you say you love yourself, you have to be honest with yourself. It's not about judging yourself and you sitting up here trying to figure out everything that's wrong with you. You're going to always find out something wrong with you. That's what lets you know that you need the Lord. Something wrong with all of us and why he came. That's why we need the relationship with him. So he can present us faultless. We need the blood. So we can go to God in prayer. Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So we can petition the throne boldly by ourselves in his name. Us being covered in the blood, we look just like him. So the angels just responding to what thus saith the Lord. And so we really have to really understand the value and the importance of the role that God has given us as believers.
Mm-hmm.
The authority that you have when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. How are you supposed to walk? How are you supposed to see things? When Jesus said himself, greater works we should do because we believed it but have not seen it. We didn't witness it. We didn't witness him here, but we believe it and I'm moved by the story. I'm moved by the experience. But how do you know it happened? Because I believe it. My faith is kicked in for that. And I'm standing on that being real. Our belief activates things to have access in our lives. And tonight, I encourage you all to access your faith in the Word of God and give the Word of God access to be used in your life, in and through your life, and be ready for the situations or the moments and the circumstances to the stage. It's like the stage being set for God's word to perform. So there has to be a situation for this word to perform. And so don't worry about what's going on. Just focus on what the word has said. Because that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. If the word of God says all things are possible to them that believe it, that's a true statement. From a believer's perspective, why? Because God said it. Why should you believe what God said? Because I believe the word of God, and then he said that he's not a God that he should lie. And so if he said it, that's true. And so I'm going to activate my faith on what the word of God is saying. And I'm going to give it permission to move in my life. I'm believing this. I don't care what situations that are going on in life. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed to bear bread. And so that's the stance that I'm taking on the authority and the access that I'm going to give the word of God in my life. It's up to us. It's up to us what we want God to do. That the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to put no work in. We don't really want to access their faith. We don't want to be without. We don't want to make no sacrifices. We don't want to hurt. We don't want to cry. We don't want to be disappointed. We don't want to be afraid. And that's true. You shouldn't want to be afraid, but you should still fear the Lord. We want to be in control. We want all the answers. We want. But not thy will.
Mm-hmm.
Not my will. But thy will be done. And so let's just give God access to our lives tonight. Let's allow God to move in our lives and through our lives the way that he desires to move in our lives. And so I encourage us tonight to get out of the Lord's way. Let God be God in your life. You want that healing? Release your faith tonight. And hear what God's saying. If God is telling you to go to that doctor, but you sitting up there at the house on the couch, talking about, I ain't going no doctor because I ain't finna believe what they saying. Quit adding to it. If God told you to go see that doctor, go see that doctor. Don't be worried about the bad news.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord be setting you up. Because we have to have acts of faith. Because when you're sick, you need a doctor. Come on, somebody. And so God is telling you, okay, you're crying out to me in the spirit for this. But we need something to help your natural. I need you to do a natural move to line up with the spiritual step that you took by asking me for your healing. So naturally, call that doctor. Take that step of faith. Like, I don't know what this doctor is going to tell me, but at least I'm going to go find out, and I'm going to know what I need to do in the natural. And doctors would tell us to do certain things. And God will tell you, don't do that, but do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do these things right here. You ain't got to do that right there. I ain't telling you to do that, but I'm telling you to do these two things. You know.
Or sometimes you'll be quick to run to a doctor and not go to God.
Right.
And God will tell you not to go to the doctor.
Right.
You know, and to rely on him and trust him, and he'll tell you what you need to do. You know, that's why it's so important that you're listening to God and being led by him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not going to do everything the same.
Mm-mm.
With everybody's situation. Sometimes he knows how you're built, so sometimes he might, you know, want you to go to know what's going on so that you can have an awareness, or sometimes he'll just tell you
mm-hmm.
what's going on. And so, like, I had a situation where I'd fallen on my shoulder. I fell out of the bed, fallen on my shoulder, well, fell on my arm,
and I developed a condition called frozen shoulder. I never heard of it a day in my life. And the Lord is the one who told me what it was. And I could not, you know, Terrence is my witness. I could not raise my arm. I could not, like, even do like how we used to do chicken wings, like flap our wings like chickens as a kid. I couldn't do that. It's like the arm was almost immobile, almost completely immobile.
And you couldn't even put your hand in your pocket.
No, I couldn't put my hand on my waist, on my hip. I couldn't raise it up and praise. I couldn't, like, it was completely frozen. And because after I'd fallen on my arm, it would hurt, so I stopped using it. I would not want to use my arm. And so the Lord ended up directing me, because I was going to go to the I was going to go to the doctor, and the Lord actually directed me on what it was. So I never got an official diagnosis from the doctor, but the Lord told me what was going on, what I had. And when I did research on it, it lined up. Sorry, we were trying to get the computer plugged up so we wouldn't die on you. So yeah, when I researched what the Lord told me it was. I had all of the symptoms, and so I was wanting to go to a doctor. The Lord was like, no. So I didn't go. And even Terrence kept telling me, you probably need to go to a doctor. You know, you need to get that checked out. I'm like, the Lord is telling me no, that he's going to tell me what needs to be done, you know, to heal it. Because, of course, you know, you see your spouse in pain and see that they're immobile. You're at a natural instinct, you're like, you need to go get that looked at, you know, but God kept telling me no. So he even used Terrence to direct me to some physical therapy videos on YouTube. And I started doing the physical therapy videos and all these things. And sure enough, it took a while, but I've got almost 100% mobility back in this arm. And even when I did some research with my insurance and stuff to find out what they do with, if I was diagnosed with frozen shoulder, the only thing that they said they could do is give you physical therapy. So God had me do, before I even knew what, because I'd never even heard of the condition, but God gave me exactly what a regular doctor would have told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so even recently I was thinking, like, maybe I need to, you know, because I wouldn't say it's 100%. It's just it gets a little stiff at times. And I was like, maybe I need to, like, just get some additional physical therapy, you know, pray about it. And sure enough, my insurance called me out of the blue and said they're offering free physical therapy. Free Zoom physical therapy. You just tell them what condition and they offer it to you. They, I guess first they tried to call me and they left me a voicemail. Then they text me and then they emailed me twice. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I guess I'll just use my insurance now. Uh-huh. And it's free, you know, to get physical therapy. So like, it's like, if you have arthritis or if you had any conditions that you know of, you just tell them and they'll give you free Zoom sessions of physical therapy for you, for, it's like part of our wellness plan or whatever, which is really cool. So it's like, again, in my case, my first instinct was to go to the doctor. And I didn't want to go to the doctor. I mean, I wanted to go to the doctor. And the Lord was like, don't go to the doctor. Let me walk you through it. But then with some people, they might be like, I ain't going to no doctor. And God's like, go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hear what they have to say. You know, so you really have to just be in tune to what God is telling you to do. You know, push, come, and shove. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to go to a doctor maybe the way your mind is set up, I don't know, you might hear whatever from the doctor and accept that, and then you start falling apart. You know, I've heard cases where people are perfectly healthy, well, might have been feeling a little off, and then doctor said, oh, you got some terminal condition, they die 2 days later. I mean, it's mm-hmm. crazy. So the mind is very important. So he may have you move in a certain way because he knows how powerful your mind is and how he knows how you are. You might not have that faith to believe opposite of what medical science is telling you, where some of you might have the faith to believe that, like, okay, I know they're telling me to do this, but that's not what God is telling me to do. God is telling me to do that. You know, so he knows how each and every one of us are, you know, he knows his children. And so that's why it's so important to just do what God tells you to do. Because, again, I could have went to the doctor and, you know, would have, pretty sure I would have had to pay for my physical therapy out of pocket, or there would have been like a percentage or something. I'd have had to pay co-pays and all sort of stuff. But the Lord, one, told me what it was. So I remember when I told Terrence, I asked him if he had heard of it. He had never heard of it either. We were like, what is that? Like, never heard of frozen shoulder.
Yeah, we was our whole doctor's team. We started researching.
We started researching it because we were like, never heard of it. And sure enough, every symptom, even, you know, the age of women when they tend to have it, how, you know, sometimes it happens because of it, most times because of injury and having it immobile and all that. Never heard of it. But all of the exercises that, you know, Terrence had actually found a video and, like, start doing this video. Because I prayed, I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because the Lord told me he's going to have me do physical therapy. And I'm like, what do I do? And so Terrence ended up sending me a YouTube video of a physical therapist, and I started doing it. And then what's funny is that some months later, I was reading an article of the top renowned physical therapist on frozen shoulder. And there was, like, a list of all of the top exercises that they would have their patients do. And do you know that every single one of those exercises was part of that video that Terrence had sent me months prior? The exact same ones. And these were the two top physical therapists, I think, in the United States for treating frozen shoulder. So, you know, God is alive. God speaks. God leads. God heals. He will let you know what needs to be done. Even now, I haven't had a physical since the pandemic. And so God told me, he's like, I'm going to restore your health. Something he's told me. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So let me just go get my blood work and all this kind of stuff. And I kept feeling like I wasn't supposed to do it. But even Terrence was like, you really need to get a physical. You know, you need to go get checked out. And so I made an appointment, even though I was feeling like I shouldn't do it, but I was like, hey, what's the harm in it? So, and just hear my story so you can hear how God works. So I made the appointment. First when I made the appointment, they were like, we don't have any appointments till June. I think I made the appointment in like, what was it, March or February or something? It was pretty, I think it was February. Yeah, February is when I tried to make the appointment, thinking I was going to get one in a couple of weeks. And they were like, we don't have any availability till June. And I'm like, it's February. Like, why would you not have any availability till June? And they were like, because of COVID, we're cracking down on how many people come in. And I'm like, well, can I do a televisit and just go get the blood work? And they're like, we don't have any televisits available till June too. So I'm like, fine, just schedule the appointment for June. I was like, and then I would like to get my blood work before. So just, you know, how does that work? And they're like, well, we'll just call you about a week before the appointment. You'll just come in, do your blood work. And then that way, by the time your appointment's done, your blood work will be ready and the doctor can go over everything with you. So I'm like, cool. So I get a call. I want to say last month. I didn't recognize the number. So I didn't pick it up. And I'm one of those people. If I don't recognize the number, I won't pick it up unless God tells me to pick it up. Cause there's been times, like even when my daughter first went to boot camp, and I hadn't heard from her, hadn't got a letter. She wasn't showing up in the system and all that. And I was starting to get worried. And I got a strange number calling me, and God said, pick it up. It's her. And sure enough, I picked it up, and it was her. They had allowed her to make a phone call while they were processing her paperwork. And normally they don't allow them to have phone calls during boot camp. So praise God for that. So anyways, I see a number come through. I didn't answer it, and I felt like it was my doctor, even though it's coming up from a whole different number. But I didn't answer it because I didn't feel the need to. And they left me a message saying they're shutting down the whole doctor's office and they canceled my appointment. So I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Lord said, I'm going to restore your health. I was like, okay, you know what? I was feeling like I shouldn't make the appointment, but truth be told, I didn't want to make Terrence. I didn't want him to be worried or, you know, because he wouldn't get angry about that. But I had promised him that I was going to go get seen, because normally I get my physicals and stuff every year, and I hadn't gotten one because of COVID. So I'm like, and I made him a promise, like, yes, I will, you know, go get my physical and all that kind of stuff. But God has spoken. So he wants to do whatever needs to be done in my body so that I'm in tip-top condition. But I have noticed that my allergies have gotten better. Like, I don't feel them as bad. Terrence, admit, he just raised his eyebrows since you guys can't see us. But I have. I felt like my allergies have gotten better. So you're still hearing the snorting and all that kind of stuff, but I'm feeling what's going on the inside, and I don't feel as itchy and swollen. Have you noticed I haven't been breaking out in hives on my back any, you know, recently, even though it's been raining? So I feel like it's slowly doing it, but it's slowly getting better because I have, you know, my allergies are bad. Like parents could tell you I'm snorting, snotting, coughing, sneezing, breaking out in hives. Like, it's not fun. My feet swell up. My hands swell up. Everything swells up. Clicking in my ear, eyes tight. Like, it's just not fun. And this is year round for me.
Yeah.
There's no relief at all. So some people are like, oh no, here comes spring. I'm like, I woke up. This is every day for me, no matter spring, summer, winter, fall, the allergies are there. But I have noticed that I have not been breaking out in hives, and I don't feel the same way I normally feel on the inside. Like sometimes I feel off, like if I'm walking, I feel like I'm not walking straight. Like I feel like I'm kind of leaning to the side. And I think it's because my equilibrium is off because my ears are itchy and swollen and stuff. And I haven't been feeling like that. So I'm just letting God do what he does. So, you know, be encouraged. God speaks. You know, we don't serve a dead God. We serve the living God. He's alive and he's speaking. And he's speaking to you, even through this message. He's speaking to you to trust him. You know, there's all we have a false sense of security a lot of times. We trust a lot of stuff. But we need to put all of our trust in God. And he uses all these other things. God uses doctors. Like, don't think I'm anti-doctor. You know, I love doctors. I love medical science. I love science, you know. But I also don't put God in a box. God wants to use a medical professional. He'll use a medical professional. God wants to use the supernatural. He'll use the supernatural. But just let God be God. Let him use whatever he wants to use. You know, he wants to give you a natural way to heal your body. Or he wants to give you medication. It's you know, you have to be asking God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to tell you another story, and then we're going to start praying. I had, several years ago, I had got bronchitis. And I didn't know bronchitis was something that you could catch. I thought it was like asthma, like where you just always have it. And I know that there is a kind like that. Like I think there's two different kinds. But I had got a viral one. And actually myself and a whole bunch of my coworkers had got it. And so I went to the urgent care, and they prescribed me some medication. And God said, don't take that medication. Now, I did not know, because I had no experience with bronchitis because I had not had it before. And it was where I was like constantly coughing, and it was really, really bad. And so I was just looking for some relief. But God said, don't take that medicine. And he said, research that medicine. And I did. I'm a researcher by nature. But when I researched the medicine, it had horrible side effects. One, it was not a medicine for bronchitis. It was a medicine for pneumonia. And it had like permanent muscle damage and all these other things. I'm like, what in the world? Like, do I have pneumonia? Like, why are they giving me such a strong medicine? And then the side effects, the percentages were very high. It wasn't like where they have to tell you the side effects because once, you know, 50 years ago, that was a side effect. And so just for liability reasons, no, it was like a high percentage side effect. So I called the doctor and I'm like, why did you prescribe me this medication? I was told, you know, I'm looking at my information sheet and I was told I had bronchitis. I was like, do I have pneumonia? And he said, no, because I'm like, you guys took a chest x-ray and all that. He's like, no. I'm like, well, is my bronchitis bacterial or is it viral? And he's like, we believe it's viral. And I'm like, okay, so why are you giving me a medication for bacterial pneumonia? And he's like, well, it's just for precaution. I'm like, okay, but have you ever read the side effects for it? Like one thing about medication, when you're sick and there's side effects, the benefits should outweigh the risk. So if I had pneumonia and I was on a kickstand and about to die any minute now, yeah, okay, so permanent muscle damage is a better side effect than death. I'm like, but I don't have bacterial bronchitis, let alone bacterial pneumonia. So why would you give me a medication that has such a strong percentage of me having permanent muscle damage? I don't even have the condition. And he couldn't say why. So I was like, give me something else. I did all this research and I told him, give me a Z-Pak. Because that's what I felt like I should have told him to give me. He did. He prescribed me the Z-Pak and I was fine. And even to this day, if I've got like a lot of congestion or something going on, if I take a Z-Pak, I'm good to go. My parents will know, I'll be like, man, I need to go to the doctor and get me a Z-Pak. Well, before COVID. And I haven't seen one since then. But all that to say, you got to put your trust in God. Even if you have a trusted professional, you still have to put your trust in God, because God said, don't you take that medicine. And I didn't. I did my research and found the medicine that I was supposed to take, because God could have just healed me of the bronchitis, but he chose to use medication to heal me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was fine. After I took the Z-Pak, I was good to go, good as new. So saying all this to say, put your trust in God, because a lot of times we put our trust in medical science, all of our trust in medical science, all of our trust in something else. All of our trust needs to only go to God. Mm-hmm. He's not like that. Like, he's not like man that he should lie. And sometimes people lie because they have bad information. You know, a lie is a lie, right? Let's look up what lie means, because I'm feeling something right now. I'm going to look up the definition of lie so that we cannot have it confused.
Well, you're talking about lying down.
Come on now. We're talking about the L-I-E. Well, I guess they both spell the same.
Yeah.
Only other lie spelled different is L-Y-E, which is like a chemical.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't talking about that one either.
No.
We ain't talking about straightening your hair. Okay, so
it's the English language, but we're spelled the same way.
Pronounced the same. With completely different meanings.
Completely different meanings.
But look, when I put lies, to say it to rest. No, we're not talking about that one. Okay, let's see. Man, all these ones are like to lay down, to remain unused, to stay in hiding, like to lie in wait. Here we go. To make an untrue statement with intent to deceive. To create a false or misleading impression. An assertion of something known or believed by the speaker or writer to be untrue with intent to deceive. An untrue or inaccurate statement that may or may not be believed true by the speaker or writer. Now, that's the one I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can lie and might not know they're lying. Come on, somebody. Let's go back to here. This is the lie now to Definition 1B. Now, that don't make no sense because there's so many definitions of it. This is how we got to get to it. An untrue or inaccurate statement that may or may not be believed true by the speaker or writer. Okay? So it's either untrue, right, or inaccurate, and it may or may not be believed by the person. So a person could lie to you and believe it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely untrue or inaccurate. So God is not like man. Listen, hear me. God is not like man that he should lie. Okay? We always think when we hear the word lie, we tend to think of a person intending to deceive. Right? But man, humans, right? Because we're not perfect. We're not all knowing. We could lie without knowing we're lying.
Mm-hmm.
So we might be spreading untrue or inaccurate information that we might think is true. We're believing. Listen again, an untrue or inaccurate statement that may or may not be believed true by the speaker or writer. Believed.
Mm-hmm. Go right back to the belief.
Come on now. Believe true. So you got faith in this to where if you believe something to be true and you telling it, and it's a whole lie. You don't know that. You put your faith in that. So that's why put your faith in God, because you could put your faith in man And man could lie to you without deceitful intent.
Mm-hmm.
But a lie is a lie. It's still not true. It don't matter what the intent is. At this point, is it true or not? And God is not like man that he should lie. So God is not going to, if God says it is true, where man could, yeah, but if that doctor really believe it, it is the best medication. He believed it to be true. He was taught in medical school or by a fellow colleague or something, or medical journal or some article he read in the medical paper or whatever. I don't know. I have no clue. But he thought, he believed that if somebody comes in with bronchitis, just give them this, and this just knocks everything out. Didn't read no side effects or nothing. Because I'm asking questions, and I'm the type of person, if I ask questions, it's because I want to know the answer. Now, if I ask a rhetorical question, you're going to know it's rhetorical because the sarcasm that's going to come along with it will tell you everything you need to know. But if I'm asking, I want to know. So that's why I'm like, do you know the side effects? Well, I've heard, okay, but let me tell you, since you ain't throwing out no facts and figures, you ain't giving me no speech to line up to the fact that you know, let me tell you that. So do you feel that benefit outweighs that side effect? No response. So I'm like, I tell you what, this is what you're going to do, okay? You're going to prescribe me a Z-Pak. Because you got to take control of your health too. Quit putting all your trust in a doctor. And put your trust in God. God's not like man that he should lie. They'll try to put you on everything under the sun. I remember a long time ago when I was really having a rough time and doctor was trying to give me this medication. He said I had GERD, which is like constant acid reflux. He was trying to put me on this medication. And so I'm reading, because again, I'm a researcher. I'm reading the stuff and I'm like, okay, so how long do I take it? And I'm reading the bottle, reading a little, because it gave me little samples. Like, here's some little samples until you get your prescription. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm reading. I'm like, so how long do I take it? And he's like, forever. And I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, you'll take it every day for the rest of your life. I beg your pardon. He's like, yeah, because so that way it's a preventive thing. So just like how you take your multivitamin in the morning, you'll just take this too forever. Okay, it's a no for me. So I prayed about it first, and the Lord said, don't take that. And I didn't, and come to find out, the reason why I was having a lot of acid reflux is because I was under a lot of stress, and once I was out of the stressful environment, the acid reflux went too. So fast forward to maybe last year, I found out that same medication was causing people esophageal cancer and all sorts of stuff. You know, you hear those commercials, did you take XYZ medication? Well, you might be entitled to a compensation. Call the law offices or blah, blah. Like, and I'm like, what? That's the same medication that I was told I was going to have to take for the rest of my life. It's been eating away at my stomach lining and causing esophageal cancer. Just crazy. And this is the doctor that I trusted. Some people just trust their doctor. They trust their knowledge, right? Because that's why what doctors are. Doctors have knowledge. That's what they go to law school for. And a lot of times, doctors don't even be... medical school. That's what they go to medical school for. Ooh, I'm tired, huh? And a lot of the times, like my kid's doctor, one thing I love about him is he don't even pretend. He will go quick. He has this little database, and he'll just punch in the symptoms. And he'll pull up, and he'll be like, okay, I don't think it's this. It's a process of... I've watched him. He'll do process of elimination. Okay, here's the symptoms. He type in the symptoms. Here's what pops up. Okay, I'm ruling that out. This, that. Okay, I think it's this. Because that's what doctors do. They give you an educated guess based on training, right? Based on experience, based on advice and mentorship from colleagues. But, and you know, they start to see the same things over and over again, and they can give a good educated guess. But that's what they are. They're professionals. They're certified, right? But they're giving educated guesses. They're not just pulling things out the sky. But an educated guess could still be a lie. So don't put all your trust in no human. Put your trust in God. And nobody's saying, well, I'll just dismiss the whole medical field. Like, that's not what's being said. I'm saying that you need to be having, let God be Lord over everything, including your health. So if your doctor says to take two of these and call him in the morning, Lord, should I take two of these? Is it okay if I take these? Lord over everything. He doesn't just want to be Lord over your salvation. He wants to be the Lord over everything, over your health, over your career choices, over your child rearing, over your, you know, your marriage and how you function, over your relationships with people as a, you know, whatever your roles, because we all have different roles. Some of us are aunts and some of us are uncles. Some of us are sisters and brothers and, you know, children or whatever. He wants to be Lord over all of that because, yeah, you could be led by people. You can have great mentors, great friends, godly counsel. But the guarantee of truth is God. Because he's not like man that he should lie. He doesn't have the ability to lie. He doesn't possess what we possess as humans. He wasn't born into sin and shaping with iniquity like we are. But just allow him to be Lord over every area of your life. Yes. Allow him to lead you. And don't think about I don't want to do this. I don't want to take this. I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to just be sitting there. Do what he tells you to do. Nevertheless, not your will be done, but his will be done. Do what he's telling you, despite how you feel. We live in a society that's all about how everybody feels. Oh, I identify this because that's what I feel inside. Your feelings will stir you straight to the pits of hell. It will Pied Piper you right on there with a beautiful tune. Sure. Your feelings sometimes are like the Titanic. If you ever study the Titanic, the band that was on the Titanic, has been said and reported that they continued to play as the ship sank. And I'm pretty sure this wasn't some, you know, raggedy band that they found on the street with signs that said "Real Work for Food." The Titanic was top of the line luxury by, what is it, White Star Lines, I believe was the name of the builder. This was like the cream de la cream. This was like the chef's kiss of you're traveling in style. This is brag worthy. So I'm pretty certain. I don't know because I wasn't there, but I can guess hard that this was a top-of-the-line band on this top-of-the-line cruise ship or whatever you want to call it. They were calling this thing unsinkable, right? That's how they were advertising it. It can't sink. There's cars on it, all sorts of stuff. People, they was traveling because they thought they was good to go. And so you've got this top-tier band. If you've ever heard a band in person, a good one, man, it takes you somewhere. And music is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So here these people are in first class, and they're trying not to cause a panic. So they're to keep people relaxed and in a calm state of mind, the band kept playing. And these people are getting music to die to. And that's what your feelings will do. It'll sound all good. Oh man, you're all mesmerized and you're just wrapped up in the sounds of it. You're just swaying and it's Pied Piper and you right to hell. Mm-hmm. Like with a little flute. With a little flute. And you're just dancing to the tune. Right to the gate. So We as believers, we know better. We're not like this touchy-feeling, whatever I feel society. That's right. The word of God speaks about that. That man will do whatever they feel, and whatever in their wicked hearts. I have to find the scripture. I'm paraphrasing. Lovers of self, selfish, and just they're going to do basically everything that they what's in their heart to do. It's in their heart to do, because everybody's talking about following their heart. I'm just following my heart. But the word of God says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Deceitfully wicked. Would you follow anything, a person, whatever, that you knew was deceitfully wicked and you knew it in advance? But here's believers. Even I hear believers say that. They'll tell people, they'll give them advice. Well, follow your heart.
What is your heart telling you? I don't care what your heart is telling you. What is God saying? Don't follow your heart.
And follow the Lord.
Follow the Lord. Follow the Holy Spirit. The
Spirit of God.
Because you follow your heart, it's deceitfully wicked. It's going to have you in a bad spot.
Amen.
He's following my feelings and my heart. Don't do that. That is a slippery slope with glass shoes on. Do not.
You're sliding down a razor blade into alcohol real quick.
I'm just saying.
That's going to burn.
That's going to burn. It's going to burn. And that's not going to be pleasant.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of what I believe we're entering in and what God has really been ministering to us about establishing a true, real, personal relationship with Him,
mm-hmm.
and giving Him full access of your life. Because, like, people feel like, hey, you know, I'm going to let God in on this part of my life. He wants it all. It ain't like you can let Him in on certain aspects of your life, certain parts, and you can work out the rest. Your life is going to continue to be in shambles until you give God full authority.
I don't know why I always like that word, shambles. Like, every time I hear when somebody says something's in shambles, I'm like, man. Like, I don't know. It's just such a vivid word to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's so descriptive.
Yeah.
All you got to do is say that to me. If something's going really bad, just tell me shambles, and I get it. It's like it just boing, it just hits mm-hmm. me. I'm like, oh, no, not shambles.
Yeah. It's,
and I've heard, I know people like that. Life is literally in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure it out. When we as believers are here to teach one another, you know, we're to sharpen one another,
mm-hmm.
but we're also to witness to the non-believer. And so that's why it's so important for us to be around others to be sharpened, you know, coming to calling in a PGN, you know, to be sharpened,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be sharpened and to share.
Yeah.
So that we can go out and share and be a witness.
Mm-hmm.
Be a witness to who God is. And so that others can see, you know, how He moves in your life and that'll draw them in. Give it presenting people opportunities. It's like God presented you an opportunity. How dare you to hoard God? God, you don't hoard Jesus to yourself.
Right.
Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have life more abundantly.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't come to this world to condemn the world, but through me, the world may be saved.
Yeah.
And so us being followers of Christ, Christian, I like to just call us a believer. This is what we are called to do. Everybody needs that opportunity
mm-hmm.
to find peace, have the opportunity for their life to be changed. Everybody deserves it.
Yeah, they do. Even the people that you don't like.
Right. Jesus gave His life for us all.
Jesus loves the people you don't like.
Absolutely.
I have to be told that.
Yeah, you got to get that through your skull.
You really do. Because mm-hmm. when you don't like somebody, like for me, if I don't like you, I love everybody, but if I don't like you, you've got to like a real deep personality defect for me not to like you. Because I pretty much, you know, I love everybody, but I like people. You know, I don't mind quirky people, corny people, dry people. Like,
mm-hmm.
I just look at it like, well, they're just a dry individual,
right.
or they're just, you know, corny or whatever.
Those are my favorites.
You know, it doesn't matter. They're just, you know, they're just a little firm, or you know, I don't mind. So when I don't like you, it's right. something deep. It's like you're a mean person or hateful, or you just extremely selfish or whatever the case. Maybe you lie a lot. I don't know. It takes something deep for me not to like you, which doesn't matter because even if I don't like you, I'm still going to treat you in love.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been few occasions where I didn't like a person because they were coming against me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't bother people.
You know, I don't make enemies of people. That's not me. It's never been me. Even when I was unsaved, I was taught to leave people alone. You know, my dad would say, don't go messing with folk, you know, or bothering people and all that kind of stuff. So I never would do that. And found myself in a time or two where people were coming against me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I didn't like them, because of what they were doing, the havoc that they were causing. And, man, just really wanting, you know, a roadrunner moment. Like, man, if only one of those anvils could drop on that person, like the ones that Wile E. Coyote kept trying to drop on the Roadrunner, that would be so amazing. And God was like, no, that would not be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because even though I'm not having a conversation with him about it, he can hear my thoughts. You know? Giving him access. So like, hey, Lord, if you see me, if you hear me thinking that online, correct me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's like, I love that person. And I'm like, what? Even though they're doing this, that, and the other, and I really have to get that God loves the people that you don't like.
Absolutely. And that's why he gives us the wisdom,
mm-hmm.
you know, to learn how to orchestrate and to set our lives up, you know, because we ain't here to like everybody.
No, and you're not going to.
You're not going
to. So you could get that clean up out your head.
Man, you know, but we just here to love. And so that's why the Lord had a sharing earlier about asking him to teach you what real love is,
mm-hmm.
the God kind of love. Because, like Jesus was saying, you can love somebody and not like them. And when you don't like somebody, you can say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Because you ain't always going to agree with people.
No, but I still want God to watch out for you.
Right. Especially if I don't like you, because if I see something in you that's causing me not to like you, I want you to be healed. I want you to be happy. I want you to be whole. I have a heart for living their best life. You know, people say that all the time. I see memes of it. Don't be best life. They don't mean it. They don't mean it a lot of the times. Just want to be sound cool and trendy. But I really want people to live their best life. Do you know how amazing this world could be if people were genuinely living their best life? And I'm not talking about based on their feelings and their wicked hearts, but I'm talking about the best life that God has designed and purposed for them. You know, people move different when they're whole, when they're happy, when they know they're loved, when they're purposed, when they feel like they're waking up every day and doing something and that's perfect for them. It's like Terrence was talking earlier about, you know, making sure that you're not getting depleted,
mm-hmm.
so that you're not, you know, and this is something that he and I have had conversations about, because I found myself like that. You know, where my job will drain me, and then I feel like I don't have nothing to give my family except for silence. You know, I'd be needing to get hole up and be by myself. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to deal with nothing, because I've been dealing with madness and chaos all day. And so now I don't want to deal with anything that remotely resembles it, even though it's not nowhere near the same. But if it's just kind of something, if I got to use brain power to think, I don't want to do it. And that's not okay. And I found myself today, you know, enjoying my lovely Sunday and then dreading, starting this feeling of dread. I'm like, man, tomorrow's coming. I gotta work. And I was like, you know what, Lord? No. I don't want to be feeling like no part of my day is bad,
mm-mm.
because I'm dreading another day that's not even here yet. You know, put me in a position where I don't have to deal with that anymore, or give me a better attitude,
mm-hmm.
while I'm in it, so that I'm not feeling like that. Because this is the day the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be rejoiced and be glad in this day, and not be worried about what tomorrow happens. I mean, what happens tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we talking like, what's that character that talks backwards is Yoda?
But
that's how you know when I'm tired.
That's rich what you're saying, though, because, like, you'll be... God knows you don't want to be where you are.
Right.
And I'm just speaking to anybody that's in a position or have been in a position. They might have had some experiences, but the prayer to, like you said, to really pray, because God is always developing us and preparing us.
Absolutely.
For what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And so the moment that we begin to change our attitude about things and not letting things have that effect
on us that it doesn't need to have in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that we get the revelation and we begin to move in it, next thing you know, pop, you prepare for the next level. And now here comes that thing that you've been waiting on.
Yep.
Because all the Lord was waiting on you to adjust your attitude.
That's it.
Because when you think about it, you think about us, what we are with our children. Imagine how we are if our child coming to us with an attitude about something, but want us to give them something, but they got an attitude with us about it.
That's a quick way to get a denial.
What are we going to tell them? You better go get your
attitude together. Yep. Straighten up your attitude.
Yeah, straighten up your attitude, then come back and holler at
me. Right.
You know.
One thing Terrence and I both don't have a tolerance for is children with attitude.
Ooh,
really? It's a no, because I beg your pardon type person. And if I tell that to a person, I'm giving you an opportunity to backpedal.
that's your get out free card.
That's I'm giving you your get out of jail free card. I beg your pardon, and that's what adults and children are like.
Mm-hmm.
That's like me saying what you know, but instead of saying I beg your pardon, mm-hmm. you know, let me let you straighten yourself together. Let me let you started to swerve. Let me let you get back in your lane,
yeah.
so that you can be in yours and not mine. Because you starting to get on my side, you're gonna crash. And so,
mm-hmm.
and Terrence, you know. He don't give no, I beg your pardon. He gonna just check you on the spot, you know. The kid try to get attitude, and so sometimes we're like that. You know, we're children of God, and we be trying to go to him with a bad attitude.
Mm-hmm. And he be like, get your attitude together first,
right?
Before you come back to me.
Come on, whining. Right. And I mean, just think about if your kids was whining. Oh, I just hate it here. Just get me out of this. I hate it. No, as parents, we're going to teach you how to cope.
Mm-hmm.
With, okay, you might not like it, but here's how to cope. And then you see your kid making an effort to cope and to just make good. And then if you have a means of escape, you give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but God is no different. And so that's why my prayer when I, you know, start to feel that dread come on me. I'm mm-hmm. like, Lord, get me up out of here or change my attitude. Help me to have a better attitude while I'm here because I don't want to be dreading. You know, I just want to be thankful that I have a job, you know. There's some people out here that don't have jobs. People are struggling to find work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while I don't like, you know, where I'm at, I have a job, mm-hmm. gainfully employed. You know, I'm not getting, you know, paid in canned soup. So I don't want to be ungrateful. You know, because it could be a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Lord, help me to be just thankful, and then use me, help me to do what needs to be done, because I'm stretched very thin, and that's what I don't like. I don't like being stretched thin. So I'm like, help me do what needs to be done, and not just what everybody wants me to do.
Right.
Because I don't like being pulled in 50,000 different directions, and then having unrealistic expectations on me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you direct me on what needs to be done, I feel like I did an honest, you know, got paid an honest day's wage for an honest day's work. So even if I didn't do things that other people expected me to do, I know I did what needed to be done.
Absolutely.
And then I can hold my head high. And so if anybody was to say anything to me, I got a rational, reasonable explanation. This is what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only one person. And if you don't have no way to create an additional 5 hours in the day, I don't know what to tell you. There's only 24 hours in the workday, and I'm leased to you for 8 of those hours. So
that's it.
You
know, just make sure we are keeping God first,
mm-hmm.
literally. Giving God his proper access.
Yes.
Giving God what's due to him. To God be the glory for all that he has done
mm-hmm.
for all. And so as we continue to change our perspectives, Lord, we just thank you tonight for our perspective change, Father
yes.
God, for us seeing it the way that you see it, teaching us to change our views, teaching us how to give things access in our lives that need access, and removing things from our lives that do not need access to our lives.
Yes.
Lord, teach us how to govern our lives, Father God. The life that you have given us, teach us how to be good stewards over our time,
stewards over our money, stewards over our relationships, stewards over our social investments, social investing. That's it. Social investing in really teaching us how to get out in this world and be that reflection of you, so that we can be an example of your love in this world, showing people what love looks like, stirring up conversations so people can begin to talk about you.
Mm-hmm.
To begin to discuss you, and so that their lives can be changed. And Lord, just thank you for bringing the boldness on your people, giving us a spirit of boldness and allowing our tongues to yield to you, Father God, to speak when we need to be speaking and saying what needs to be said when it's time to speak. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you for the disciplines that we're needing. We just thank you for the nurturing of the relationship with you, so that you can have the access that you desire to have in our lives, so that you can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. Heal your people. Bring peace to your people. Bring joy to your people. As we release our faith, release our faith in your word, in what you have told us through prophecy, what you have told us through songs, what you have told us through written word, what you have told us through preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
We draw it in. We nurture it. And we draw from it, so that you get the glory out of our lives. Lord, we thank you for our obedience. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you trusting us to be carriers of your word, and trusting us to share the word the way that you so desire. And Lord, every listening ear tonight, Father God, you know the need, because you said that you would supply all of our needs. We thank you for the needs being supplied and teaching us how to be grateful,
mm-hmm.
and teaching us how to use what you have given us and maximizing it and multiplying it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for our children tonight, for they need guidance. They need real trainers. So, Father, teach us how to communicate effectively with them. Let us not forget about them. Let us not forget the impact that they're going to have in the world as they grow, because they're not going to be children forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, teach us how to communicate. Teach us what to deposit. Teach us how to be significant in this generation to come. Give us the wisdom that's needed. Teach us as elders to walk in wisdom, so that we can share. Thank you for protecting our mothers, protecting our women. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you right now in Jesus' name, that you're teaching women how to be women. You're teaching women what heaven says a woman is.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the men. Heaven teaching the men how to be men, real men, men after your own heart, true, godly men. They're the shepherds over their homes. They're the priests over their homes. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, people on tonight, all type of things on them, Father God. And Lord, I just say that you release them from the chains that have them bound tonight in Jesus' name. Chains are falling off. The lock is unlocked.
Yeah.
Burdens are lifted, being removed. Yokes are being destroyed right now in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy of the praise. So, Lord, show your glory. Now, in Jesus' name, release your power in this earth, and that every listener tonight is charged with dominating here in this earth. That we will be the voices for you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 That was a great prayer. Very thorough and very on point.
Wow. I kept saying, let me go. I'm going to get these callers. Yes, but some just kept coming up. Yeah, we got a few of you guys in the queue tonight. If you want prayers, just press one on your dial pad. We got a lot of people. And we basically got an hour left. So what we're going to do, we're going to do area code prefix. And we're going to pray for you. And I'm not going to take names tonight, but God is going to speak to you directly through your number. So as your number's called, just hear what God has to say. And whatever he says tonight, know that that thing is going to happen. It's going to happen. So put your faith on that now in Jesus' name, that it's going to happen. I'm going to witness it. You're going to witness it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
First caller here is 570. What's that? 225. I need for my glasses.
You must say, where's your glasses?
570-225. Lord, we thank you for 570-225. Lord, we just thank you for evolution. God is evolving you to a new level in him, to really think and see things beyond human nature.
Mm.
God is really expanding your vision. To see things the way that he sees it. But not only are you going to be seeing it that way, but God is going to teach you how to operate in it and how to live, how to live and bring balance to your life. He's going to give you like a level of understanding to where things don't bother you or just drive you crazy because it's not the way that God has shown you. But instead, he's showing you how he wants it done. But yet he's also showing you how you need to be in the process of watching what he says already has been done. Go through the process of being done. And so a lot of the times
You'll see a thing in the end. But God is showing you the end on purpose, because he's preparing you how to deal and how you have to act and how you have to be in the process of watching what's been done be done, if you're following me on this. It's a process. It's a process. And so there are things that he's teaching you. He's teaching you how to speak. He's teaching you the attitude that you should have, the perception that you should have. He's teaching you how to deal with these type of people, because you are there to counsel. You're there to hear. You're there to witness, and you're there to counsel. And you're there to drive those spirits out as well. Because in order to get help people get delivered, you have to know how they operate. You have to be able to know how that thing moves, so that you can counter it. Well, you know how something operates, you know how to handle it. And so therefore you're able to teach other people how to handle it. And you're able to teach the people that's dealing with the thing that God has trained you for and trained you in, you know how to, like a process that gives you to show you how to do things, but then you might have to make little tweaks based on different people or different circumstances. But you can identify with what it is, and when you identify with what it is, then you know how to handle it. You know how to handle it, and that's what I see for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We get 405-250. Lord, we thank you for 405-250. Father God, we thank you for the impediments are being removed. Impediments. Let me give you the definition of that. I don't know if I've given you this word before. I remember hearing something. But an impediment is a hindrance or obstruction in doing something. A hindrance or an obstruction in doing something. God is teaching you how to remove obstruction so that you could do what he's called you to do. He's revealing to you what the hindrances are. He's revealing to you what the obstructions are in your life. And you already have the ability to remove those impediments. You have the ability. So you don't have to ask, do I have the ability? God is giving you the ability to handle, because if you're able to experience it, you are made to handle it. So put your faith on it. Lord, I thank you that I'm made to handle this. So you reveal this to me. Just show me how you want me to do this. Because I know you made me to be able to handle it, because I can do all things through you. Because you're going to strengthen me. You're going to give me the words. You're going to give me the move, the moves to make. You're going to give me the instructions. And begin to thank God for that. Because the more that you depend on God, the less hindrances and obstructions that you have in your life. So that you could be doing something. And you got the work of the Lord to do. And anybody around you that's not going the direction that you're going, they're either going in your direction or you're going in theirs. So you make that decision. In your direction, if you're depending on God and you're trusting and you're being led by God, it's best to follow God than not. And those around you that's not, they could be hindrances and obstructions that could keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Amen. 336-354. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for 336-354. Lord, we just thank you for the robing. I see God robing you, giving you a robe and like crowning you with authority, with authority, and giving you the full access to the royal treatment. The full access to the royal treatment. God wants you to see yourself the way He sees you. God has given you a very matriarch gift, a very matriarch gift that's heavenly kingdomly royal. If I said it right. But it's the royalty from heaven. God is increasing your spiritual awareness and keenness, sharpness during this time. Like your mind is being like a young mind. It's very sharp because, you know, kids, when they're young minds, they think quick, you know. And God is like, I see like your brain being electrified. And with this sharpness, this keenness, in the wisdom realm, in walking in kingdom royalty, it's wisdom behind the royalty, wisdom in dealing with royalty. Yes. Wisdom. Royal. Royal, I'm looking for royalty. People of royal blood or status, power. A royal right, now especially over mineral granted by the sovereign to an individual, a payment made by payment made by a producer. It's a payment made. So God is really going to show you the value of the payment that He made for our role, to have our membership solidified in the royal family. Yeah, so well, get ready for that. That's what I'm getting for there. Wow. 251-342-251-342. Father God, we thank you for 251-342. Lord, we just thank you for the lights coming on, the light being on, darkness being basically removed, darkness being removed, things being exposed, and God is turning the light on, so things can be exposed. See, like the world would look at things as being exposed, so that they could just ridicule it, run it, you know, and just do all type of harm to it, you know. I'm gonna expose you so I can, you know, you want to cause harm. But in this instance, in this situation, God is turning the light on to expose things so that you can put it in order. Just imagine, you know, you walking into a room and you turn the light on. And now you can see where things are out of place in that room, and you might want to redesign it, you know, clean up or do whatever. But a room that you're familiar with, and the light turns on, and now you're able to see where things are and what things are, the where and the what. And then you get to see how you're going to, you can decide how you're going to deal with it. And so as things are being exposed, God is going to teach you where to put it, where it needs to be. Because everything that's being exposed ain't negative. You know, God be turning the light on to expose something that's good. That the darkness has been keeping hidden. Yeah, so exposure ain't all bad. It works both ways. It works both ways. And I see in this way God is showing you a lot of good is coming through this exposure. He's really revealing some things as well. And so we just thank God for the light turning on and you being able to see what needs to be seen. And where things need to go and where things need to be placed in your life. And God is going to teach you how to do that. He's going to teach you how to do that. That way it's effective. Because you don't want to be doing something and then still miss an opportunity, because we want to do things the way God desires it to be done, so that he can continue to have access. Hallelujah. Access. God wants access. Yes. God wants access. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We just thank you for that. Having access. Amen. 828-989. Lord, we just thank you for 828-989 tonight. Lord, we thank you for benefits being understood. God is going to teach you how to understand, give you a real thorough understanding of benefits. Oh, you know, we get jobs. We want to know what the benefits is, honey. Together. I know what the pay is. Does it come in benefit? And benefit is an advantage or profit gain from something. You know, it's an advantage. It's a profit that's gained from something. And so you got something and it comes with benefit. So you're going to profit to benefit. To benefit. And God is going to show you what benefits really are concerning the kingdom, the benefits of the kingdom. You know, it not only benefits you, but it benefits other people sometimes to just walk away. You know, you save your time a lot of heartache and pain sometimes with just by walking away and just saying no. Walking away and just saying no. No. It's benefits to that. You know, wherever, like, well, you should just express yourself. Get it out. You just got to express yourself. But that's true, you know, but not all the time. You don't have to do nothing but what the Lord says. You do, like that's what you should do, but you still have free will. But I say the best thing to do is to always be doing what God tells you to do and how God tells you to do it. Because the world can give good advice, but it's not 100% truthful. It'll sound good, but, you know, if anything without God, you know, it ain't going to, like, benefit you the way it should. And so that's what God is going to teach you about. Real benefits of things. You know, does it benefit me to go and tell this person exactly how I feel? Does it benefit, would it benefit them? You know, would it, is it really benefit me to work these extra hours, you know, to get this money? But it's like I'm working and I ain't getting no money nowhere. You know, it's just like, it just seems like I'm working more and getting paid less. Is this really benefiting me? So God's really going to take you through that course of learning what benefits are and the meanings of walking in benefits. Hallelujah. 605-390. But we thank you tonight for 605-390. But we just thank you for being the gap filler and setting up barriers. You got to set up barriers for yourself. You got to give people barriers. You know, you got to set up boundaries. You know, because everybody says they're your friend, even family members, you know. Say they're there, you know, with your best interest in mind. You know, really, a lot of time be wasting a lot of your time. You know, but God is going to teach you the value of time. And he's going to need you to set up barriers so that everything doesn't have access to you. And sometimes you have to set up barriers for yourself so you don't access things. He's going to set up some barriers, and he's going to have you set up barriers as well. But it's all beneficial for your growth. And a lot of people are tied to your growth. A lot of people are dependent on your growth. And so this time is very crucial for you. It's very crucial for you now to be hearing from God. It's been really very crucial for you. Because it's God is really going to teach you selflessness and really teach you what it really means to have others depending on you. And it's a beautiful thing, too. It's a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes we look at being responsible and having people depending on us. We look at it as a burden, but it's really a blessing. It's really a blessing. To have people depending on you. It's a blessing. Because this means that people trust you. And people can turn to you for help. And you being the type of person, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. We just thank God for that happening in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Next caller, 225-364. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 225-364. Lord, we just thank you for the word being made flesh. The word being made flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word being made flesh. God. God is drawing you to study the life of Christ. Study what Jesus did. Look at how Jesus handled things. You're going to get the backdrop on Jesus, not a religious, not the religious version of Jesus, but the spiritual, the true Yahshua. God is going to teach you about him and his walk, the word being made flesh. The word being made flesh, that's going to be very important for you. Very important for you to know how Jesus moved in the earth. Because there are some things that God has placed in you. And it's going to be very, very important to know how to move. How to be in authority and under authority at the same time. God's going to teach you that. So really, really study the life of Christ. Study the life of Christ. Study what went on when he appeared and how he dealt with all those situations. Get the backdrop, get the backstory of the times that he was in and the things. God is really going to have you study the life of Christ. I'm going to go back and redo some more studying myself along with you, because it's something there. It's something there, especially for the times to come. Especially for the times to come, and it's going to be very important for you to know how to move and how to operate. Literally, what did Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I mean, we used to have bracelets and all type of stuff, WWJD, but now God is putting you in that frame of mind now. What would Jesus do? Before you do anything, or you make a decision on something, that you gonna eat, sleep, what would Jesus do? Yes, that's a good place to be in, because it's gonna really keep you enlightened and really falling in love with the Savior when you really see all that he did and how he did it. It's a beautiful love story. So thank God for revealing to you who Jesus is. Amen. 478-233. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 478-233. Father, we just thank you for the financial overflow, the financial increase now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for the bags. They seem like money bags. Just loading up. And it's not just currency. Your ideas are going to pay off. These are like ideas. God is giving you ideas. He's giving you an investment opportunities. Like, he's going to show you where to put money, how to use money, the value of the financial system. He's going to teach you about the financial system. So that you know how to get money, and then be able to explain how to do it. But then God is going to also show you how he does it. Because the only way that you can explain the increase, a for real increase, when people see, like, this has never happened. This, how is this able to happen? And you able to tell people, that was the Lord. He provided the increase. God gave the increase on it. Yeah, this is how far we can go as man with this and this and another. But God, he did this. It was God that told me to put that money in that account, in that investment. It was God that said, don't invest in that. Don't put this money there. Put it here. It was God told me to give this man this money or this idea, and it changed his life. You know, that's what I see God really doing in your life. Because he can trust you with money, and he can trust you to understand that money answers all things, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So God is giving you the biblical knowledge, the biblical backdrop of currency and finances, because you're a kingdom financier. God can trust you to put money where money needs to be done. And even if you can't see that right now, just like he said, this is not something that he wants to happen. This is going to happen in your life. This is going to happen. In Jesus' name, amen. 954-580. Lord, we thank you for 954-580. Father God, we just thank you for the the continuation of preservation of a situation, idea, etc. Perpetuation. So the continuation or preservation of a situation, idea, etc. That I see something like an idea or situation that has occurred, and God is like removing the perpetuation. It doesn't have to continue. Like it has occurred, but it doesn't have to continue in your life because of the perpetuation. You thinking about it and you're having it continue, allowing somebody else to bring it up to you. And you know, because Satan always want to, you know, remind you of your past. He always wants to remind you of some of your least best moments. That's what he always wants to do. But God's teaching you how to tell Satan, no, I'm not gonna give this thing life anymore. I'm not going to give it energy anymore. I'm free from the bondage of my past. I'm free from those shackles. I'm free from the power of that situation that it has had over my life. Lord, we just thank you for freeing you right now in Jesus' name. For freeing you from every thought, from freeing you from every ill word over you, and clearing your name in Jesus' name right now. Hallelujah. Restoring your name. No more perpetuation on that idea. In Jesus' name, you're free. Amen. 803-991. Hallelujah. 803-991. Lord, we just thank you for waiting. Lord, we thank you for patience. Lord, just says, you know, just to wait. He said, waiting ain't bad. Some things we just got to wait a little longer for. Some things seem like everything ain't fast food. You know, you go up, you place your order, you wait 2-3 minutes, your order pop up out the window. When you go to fine restaurants, you know, you put your order in and you gotta wait, you know, for that gourmet meal to be prepared. And so you have a waiter, you know, there to service you while you're waiting. While you're waiting, you know, making sure that your beverage is topped off and that the ambiance is set for to help support the mood that it wants you to be in. It wants you to be in a relaxed mindset
you know, a place of ease and peace before you partake in a gourmet meal. So waiting. When the longer you wait, you know, the level of quality it's going up. It's gonna go up because some things take a while. Take a while to get done. A good old steak, you know. I still like steaks. I eat some steaks. Steaks have to be prepared differently than that old hamburger, you know. And so to get a nice, succulent, juicy steak cooked at the level that you want it cooked and prepared with the right seasoning, the right amount of juice, and that takes a little time. And so I don't even worry about the time that I have to wait. As long as I get what I've been waiting for. And when I get what I've been waiting for, I'm giving it at its best. I'm getting it at its highest quality. That supersedes the wait. it's worth the wait. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just thank God for you understanding that it's good to wait, and what God has prepared for you, that it's going to be worth it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 251-229. 251-229. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you for 251-229. Father, we thank you for for the willingness to want it. Like be willing to want it. You know, like when you really want something and somebody wants something, you can see that their will is tied to it. And you can measure how bad someone wants something based on what they're putting into it, what they're willing to put into it. Yes. And so God's teaching you how to really want something and how to get it, and how to get what you want. He teaches you how to put your will in it. Hallelujah. And really give it your all. So put your, God, maybe really have, you're in a situation where you got to really release your faith. And it's causing you to release your faith, like actually getting out that boat, stepping on that water, you know. Because it's something you ain't never experienced. But that does not matter. It's a boring life to have already experienced everything that you're going to experience. What type of joy you going to really get out of it? Well, I've not really experienced, you know. You know, it's going to, like, get very boring, very quick, dull. Dull. God is polishing you, shining you up as you release your faith. Just look at, like, a tile going over something dull and getting polished. As you release your faith, that polishing rag is constantly polishing those areas of your life that you're releasing your faith in. As you continue to release faith for your whole life, then your whole life is polished. Then you're presenting and you shine, you're sparkling.
sparkling. But God has that for you. God has that for you. So we just thank the Lord for courage. For courage to step out. Courage to exercise faith. Faith that's needed to get you where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. We thank you for that being done in Jesus' name. 731-334. Lord, we thank you for 731-334. Lord, we just thank you for always, all-knowing, always. Lord says that he'll always be there. He's all-knowing, and he's always available. Hallelujah. Jesus. He says, I'm all-knowing, and I'm always available. How many times in a day we be like, man, I don't know. I don't know, but we got access to all knowing. How bad you want to know? The Lord says, whatever it is, he's the answer for it. He can guide you best. He can show you best. If you want best all the time, I behoove you to always go to the Lord with it if you want what's best. if you just like good things, you know, you like the best, you got to go to the Lord. Ain't nothing better. Nothing can compare. Eyes haven't seen, neither have ears heard what good things that God has in store. He has some good things in store for all of us because he specializes in the best. He is the answer. And so what we got to realize, and what he wants for you to know, that he is always there. And he's all-knowing. So you don't ever have to feel defeated. You don't ever have to be lost. Being lost is a choice. Lost, go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you're confused, go to Jesus. If you're lonely, go to Jesus. You're never alone. You're not in this thing alone. Tap into the all-knowing, because God is always there for you and will always be there. Just give him access. Give him access tonight. I just really sense like tonight was really about increasing of the faith. Where our faith really needs to be during these times to come, and God is training us on where our faith needs to be for what's to come. Let's not take it for granted. Let's not take it lightly. That all of us got the all knowing is always available.
Mm-hmm.
All-knowing is always available for us. I don't care what it is you're dealing with. Take it to him. And he's going to tell you what's best. Because there'll be a lot of things that you could do in a situation. But God is going to always give you what's best to do in this situation. What's best. And so, Lord, we just thank you for releasing the best anointing. Oh, 731-334 tonight. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Hallelujah. To begin to desire to want the best. Hallelujah. Desire to want what's best at all times. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it tonight, folks. We just thank you all for everybody who had their hand up tonight. Lord, we just thank you for your word going forth. We thank you for the prophetic word tonight, Father God, piercing, and infusing itself to the mind of that individual so that they could begin to walk it out, begin to develop the mind to see what you have said. And then we begin to take you at your word, period. Just take you at your word, regardless of what we can see, what we can't see, but just take you at your word. They're not taking you for granted. In Jesus' name, thank you all again for joining us tonight here at Prophetic Grace Network. Tune in tomorrow night as we'll be back. Myself, Tanisha, will be back on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Randy will be on tomorrow 9, and some, I don't know who will be on at 7, but I know somebody will be on. We'll just thank you all for listening, and God continue to be with you all. We love you. Good night. We're out.
Good night.
Play my song. I gotta play my song. Come on, try.
There it is.